Greetings and welcome. This is Dan Stoltz. You can reach me on my blog at itproguru.com. In this video, I'm going to demonstrate how to work with graphical user interface forms using PowerShell. Now, this is kind of a complex problem with PowerShell because PowerShell is not necessarily designed to do graphical things. However, PowerShell has the full capabilities, or, well, a lot of the capabilities of the .NET framework, because it can access the .NET framework. So you can leverage the .NET framework in PowerShell to do some pretty amazing things and some pretty things. I'm going to show you how to do that. So first and foremost, I want to share with you that this script video can be downloaded on my Channel 9 series, Guru PowerShell. This script, as well as many others, can be found at itproguru.com/scripts. And for a direct link to the PowerShell script that I'm using is available in the TechNet gallery. Okay, so the first thing that we're going to do is I'm going to add the type assembly system Windows Forms. This loads the Forms assembly so that I can access all of the capabilities of the Windows Forms, create the object, and store that into a variable called $form. Again, this is using the Windows Forms form, and within that form object, I can set many different properties. So the form border style, I can set that. I can set the text, PowerShell custom GUI window, which is the title bar text. I can set the start position. In my case, I'm just setting it in the center of the screen. I can set the width, the height, etc. There's actually lots of other properties that you can set. And if I go in here and I do $form dot, you'll see that I have full access to all of the different properties of the form. And at the bottom, you'll see that I also have access to those form methods. So you're pretty flexible in the capabilities that you have within PowerShell. Now, in my case, I'm breaking this video down into kind of two pieces. The first is just setting up the basic empty form with a couple of buttons, with an OK and a cancel button. So in my case, I'm going to go ahead and add a button panel. A button panel is just a way to separate display different areas of the screen. So I'm going to do that with a new object, and I'm going to use the Windows form.panel. I'm going to go ahead and set the size, set the dock properties, and then I'm going to create the first button. The first button is using the windows.forms.button, and this is going to be my cancel button. I'm going to set its location, its height, its width. So notice the top is see these semicolons here basically means I'm starting a new command on the same line. So I'm setting all of the location on the same line, so I'm setting the top and the left values of the button. The text for the button is cancel. The dialog result is also cancel, and I'm anchoring it to the right. So that's the justification, if you will. Now I'm going to go in and create the OK button. Same exact process. Use the Windows Forms button. Set all the same properties, and then I need to add the button to the panel. So I go back to the panel, add controls, the OK button, add control, the cancel button, and those buttons are now on the panel. The last thing to do is to add the panel to the form, and that's what I'm doing here. So I'm doing $form.controls.add, and then the button panel, and the buttons that are already on that panel. Okay, so then I set the accept and the cancel buttons. So on the $ the accept, so the default accept button is the OK button, and the default cancel button is the cancel button. Okay, now I need to finalize the form and show the dialog. So the first thing that I'm going to do is I'm just going to write out to the screen the date and where I'm at in the script. I'm going to activate the form, and then I'm going to show the dialog and store the results of the dialog into this result field, a result variable. Now, once the user responds to the form, then I can evaluate that result. So if it's equal to OK, then I'm just writing out to the host OK. Otherwise, I'm writing out to the host cancel. So let's go ahead and see what this looks like. If I go ahead and run this, you'll see that I have the form, I have the two buttons, PowerShell Custom GUI for the title bar. So if I click OK, you'll see that it actually wrote out to the screen OK. If I go ahead and play again, I can go ahead and hit cancel and show that it was canceled. Okay, now that's great, except a blank form isn't very useful or productive. So I'm gonna tweak this a little bit and add a few things in here. Now I've already got the changes staged in another file, so I'm just gonna switch over to that file. And the beginning of it is exactly the same. There's very little difference until we get to here, where I'm actually adding additional things to the screen. So let me clear the screen real quick. All right, so in my case, I'm gonna actually be adding a computer or host name object. So I'm gonna create a label using the system.windowsforms label. And the text of that form is gonna be hostname colon, the location top left, the width and auto size. I'm setting that to true. Then I'm gonna go ahead and add that control to the form. Okay, now I'm going to go ahead and create a text box using the Windows Forms text box. I'm going to set the tab order to 0, so that's my first tab order on the form. And then I'm going to set the top, the left, and the width of that text box. I'm also going to go ahead and pre-populate that. So I'm setting the text value of that text box to environment computer name, which is my current computer name. So I'm using that that environment variable. And then I'm going to go ahead and add that control to the form. Then I'm going to go ahead and add another control that's a list box. So I'm going to show you how to work with a list box here. In the list box, the first thing that I want to do is I'm going to go ahead and create a label. And I'm going to set the text for the label. In this case, it's going to be Azure location. And then I'm going to add that control to the form. Note the location where these are and the auto size is true. So I'm statically defining where on the form these controls are going. So after I add it to the form, I just write out to the host with the date so I can again track how long it's taking me to do different things. I want to see how long it takes me to get through this loop, because the next thing that I want to do is I want to create a new object for the list box. Now the list box has some other things that I need to deal with above and beyond a text box. I have a tab index, so I'm setting the tab index to 1. And then we need to populate the list box. Now I'm using a variable just called locarray, and to populate that array, which is really just an object, I'm calling it an array because I'm treating it as if it were an array. I'm using get Azure location. So this is a command using Azure, and you'll notice here that I could also set it to an individual list with a format list, but I want to use it as an object. And grab all of the properties of that. So I'm going to use get Azure location. That's going to return that list. Now I'm going to set a counter. This is to keep track of where I'm at in the loop. And then I'm going to loop through, and for each element in that array, so that's for each row or each line, I'm going to loop through the Azure list and add to the list box. So I don't need to store the value here, or the return value. So I'm just setting a void, and I'm doing a listbox.items.add, and then the element name. So this is going to be the row name, the name property on that particular row. Now, the beauty of doing it this way is later on, I could use other properties. Whenever the row is selected, I'll know what row they selected, and I can use other properties of the initial array, even though I'm only displaying the name. And later on, you'll see what that looks like. So you can also do line item processing if you needed to. So like if element name is equal to East US 2, I'm going to go ahead and set selected for this array line equal to true. So the This is basically setting a default value for this line, and it's automatically selecting that for me. And then I'm just updating my counter again, so I know where I'm at in the loop. And the reason I need to know where I'm at in the loop is for this line here, so that I can do that set selected. Closing the for loop, and once it processes that all of those items, I need to go ahead and just add that list box to the form, write out that I'm finished getting locations and the time. And then I'll show you later of obtaining the value, but I also have, at the end, we're going to use this selected item to determine after the form is completed, this is the value that I'm going to use to actually figure out what was selected. And if they don't change the value, it'll be the item that I selected as the default. So let's look at a checkbox. A checkbox is a pretty simple process. I'm using the forms.checkbox, and then setting the size and the location, setting the text. Checked is true, so I'm setting a default value. That can be true or false. I'm setting a tab index, so this is going to be the second tab index. And the next thing that I want to do is I want to add a combo box. So in the combo box, again, I'm going to add a label. Now notice I did not need a label for the checkbox, because the checkbox is itself being used as my label. And setting the label text, etc., the location for that label, and then adding the label to the form. Now I'm going to go ahead and create the combo box. Using the new object Windows Form combo box, I'm going to go ahead and set some of the properties, the location and the size. Right out to the screen, the date again. This time I'm going to set a new array using array image, and I'm using a get-Azure VM image. So this is going to download from Azure a complete list of VM templates that are available from the portal today. And now I'm setting the begin update. What this does, I haven't actually shown the form, so you probably don't need to do this in this particular process, but whenever you're working with a form that's already displayed, the begin update will suspend the display of the updates that you make to that variable. It's a big performance enhancement by leaving that in. I set a counter of 0 for I, and I also have a counter of -1. This is going to be an index. So I select and I are both new two counters that I'm going to be using for this process. Like I did before in the combo box, I'm going to loop through my array. And in this case, I am doing some processing. So I'm setting a string of this element to a value of the number to string, so this is my counter. So I'm actually putting a row number on each one of these lines. And in my case, I wanted to do this because you might know roughly, this is a really long list, and you might know roughly what area of the string you want to go to. You could sort it alphabetically or do other things with it. In my case, I'm just numbering the rows. So I'm adding a number, I'm adding two colons, and then the element label. So this is the label of the Azure VM image. And then I am adding that item to the combo box items. I can do some additional processing. In my case, I'm checking to see if the label is equal to Windows Server 2012 R2 Data Center April 2015. If it is, then I'm setting the label image text to that. Again, I'm setting the default here, and I'm also selecting adding another variable in here to let me know which one is the default, or which one is the selected one. So this is a way of setting the default. So I'm evaluating if I want to set it as default. I do, therefore this is how I'm going to set it as the default, and I'm just going to update my counter. Now, remember that I did that before I added that I select. I could have also just done that combo image selected index up here inside of this if statement. But in my case, I broke it out. I'm doing it as a separate line item. So I'm setting the default to be the one that you know, this Windows Server 2012 R2 data center, April 2015. I'm setting that as the selected one, so that'll be selected in the list box. I end the update to basically let the system know that, okay, you can redraw the screen now. I'm done doing major updates with it. And then I add the control to the form. I put out a message with the timestamp that I'm done building that array. I go ahead and activate the form, and finally I'm showing the form dialog box. Now, before I look at the results, let's go ahead and run this and see what it looks like. You'll see I'm building the list of available locations and the timestamp on that. I'm finished getting the locations, the timestamp. I built a list of available VM images. And finally, the screen pops up. So all the while, I'm letting the user kind of know that we're doing something, that it's not just hung whenever you know the dialog box is loading, because these pulling from the cloud, particularly these really long lists, is somewhat problematic. So a couple things that you'll notice. I did fill in the host name with my local computer name. I do have the East US set as the default. My PowerShell checkbox is turned on. My VM template, something went wrong here because I don't have anything selected. But I do have a drop-down list, and all of the things are numbered as I expected. And I want to go down to, I think it's a couple hundred where I do the Windows Server images. And my guess is the reason why is the April image is no longer available. Over time, these images change, and since the April image is not available, I could not set the default. One way to solve this problem is whenever you're looking for the text to set the default value, you could look for a part of the string instead of the entire string. Like in this case, I included the date, but that data is no longer available. But if I would have used the Windows Server 2012 R2 data center and used like instead of equal to, then the most what would actually happen is it would set the default to the first time it comes up with Windows Server 2012 R2. Then what would happen the first time it comes up with Windows Server 2012 R2 data center, it would set the default value to that. And if another one comes up with a newer date, it would then set it as the default again, and another one, et cetera. So if you have four that are up there, it would always be the last one that was added, which is, and the way that the images run in Azure, would be the latest. So that's a way to get around that default value. Okay, so in my case, I'm going to go ahead and select the Windows Server 2012 R2 Data Center, August 2015, and I'm going to say OK. Now, you'll see what happened is I show a bunch of stuff here, including multiple values of what was selected. So let's see what we're doing here. So I'm just displaying the result, which is this OK right here. And then I'm evaluating that result. If the result is equal to OK, and it is, then I'm going to write out the text host text, which is the computer name. Then I'm going to write out the selected item in the list box. So the selected item in the list box is East US 2. And then I'm going to write out whether or not the checkbox for the PowerShell checkbox is actually checked. And we'll see that it is checked. The last thing I'm doing is I'm writing out the selected image of my image combo box. So the selected image of my image combo box is the 220 is image 228, Windows Server 2012 R2 Data Center, August 2015. Then I'm writing out a label, a VM image, and the selected item. So this is going to print out the item number that was selected in that image list, which is 228. Now I'm doing all this so I can show you how to work with the data or the result from that form that we filled out. The next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to write out the selected item in the... This is the selected index. This is different than the selected item. So we have the selected item here, which is going to be the label. The selected index is the number. Okay, so the number is 228. So the row number is 228. Now, with that row number, I can refer back to the original array that I created that had the entire object, not just the text, because I want to grab the image name. The image name is actually the VHD. The VHD, which is what I'll be using later whenever I, you know, in my case, I'm going to symbolize using this to create a virtual machine in Azure. And what image do I want to use? I'll actually use the VHD name to do that. I can also display the label using that same notation. You know, up here I displayed it, but I displayed it with the row number and the two colons. Here, whenever I display it, I'm just displaying the value of that label in that array, and it is the array that is selected. So if it's equal to OK, I print all that stuff out. If it's equal to cancel, I just write out to the host that I canceled. So again, I'll run this one more time, and I'll change some values. This time I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to select a Linux image. And I'm going to change the location so we can see everything change. And for the host name, I'm going to say my host. Okay, I'm going to turn off my PowerShell checkbox. I'm going to say OK. And you'll see that all of my values change based on what I typed into the dialog box. Now I'm going to run it one more time, and this time I'm going to go ahead and hit cancel just to show you what that looks like. And it just shows that I hit cancel. Okay, and the reason why it's showing here twice is because I'm showing the result, and then I'm showing cancel. So I'm showing it twice. I hope this has been a helpful presentation. And again, you can check out this video on my Channel 9 Guru PowerShell series, and also on my blog, itproguru.com/scripts. Thank you.